Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Down Report. You live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we comment there as well. Before we start, of course, with this week's review of SmackDown, the go-home show for this Sunday's Fastlane. Some news that we would like to keep you up to date on. First off, some good news. It appears that Asuka was not injured as severely as was first rumored at a house show in White Plains. But she helped out the ring, and it didn't look good. But Asuka did return on this week's SmackDown. She didn't do a match. She did do a physical part, though, and my assumption is if she was not ready to go, they would not have let her even do that much. So apparently Asuka is okay. That's good news. Secondly, there's been a real wave on Twitter of people insisting that Alicia Fox be fired. And, you know, on our last show, it said that she probably should be. Dueling match drunk. Why Arn Anderson was fired for letting her get in the ring drunk. But, you know, I've had a couple of days to think about it, and I said to myself, is that the way you want Alicia Fox's career in WWE to go down? She's been here forever. Okay, this isn't some girl who walked in the door 5 months ago. And I know there's been other issues. Her physical confrontation with Ronda Rousey's husband. Some other issues, but I would hope, let's put it this way, I would hope that the WWE would at least give her the chance to right this situation. Just based on her tenure, nothing else. Not justifying what she did in any way, shape, or form. Just saying that when you have that kind of tenure, perhaps, just perhaps, you should be given a little more consideration when it comes to an incident like this. It's a shame, but it is an illness to a certain extent, and it would be great if the WWE, and I know the WWE has reached out to her about possibly doing some rehab. We'll see what ends up happening. It's just a shame to hear, and it's also kind of a shame to hear the fans really pile on her. I mean, logically, and we said it on the show, logically you show up drunk, you probably should be fired. But again, in hindsight, she's been with the company a long, long, long time. And I promise you, although it would never happen, I promise you, if a guy had been with the company that long and showed up drunk to a match, he's not being fired. Simple as that. Now, another news item that we should be talking about, and this is going to cause big controversy, and maybe we'll do an entire show on it soon, is that the WWE released financial statements, including the salaries of their wrestlers for the last year, which is 2018. And suffice to say that some of the top women wrestlers, and I mean top women wrestlers, Ronda Rousey's making over $1 million. The next highest one is half that, and that's Charlotte Flair. And by the time you get down to people like Bayley, they're making about the amount of money Kurt Hawkins is making. Think about that. And I'm shocked to find out the Riot Squad make less money than I do. Not as a whole, individually. So there is a definite inequality in the pay gap here. Now, look, the WWE's main draw are still the male athletes. It's still that way. You can say whatever you want, but it's still that way. 8 out of 10 matches are the males. And with the exception of Becky Lynch, I don't know, and maybe Ronda Rousey, I don't know too many of the female workers who are drawing big ticket sales. People pay to see Becky Lynch. People may pay to see Ronda Rousey. I'm not sure how many people are paying to see Sasha Banks or Bayley or Asuka. I don't know if that's a great number, as opposed to how many people are paying to see Seth Rollins or John Cena or, you know, even Brock Lesnar. And I'm not saying that they should be paid exactly the same amount of money, because this is a business by which, I mean, if you're going to go that route, then you may as well say any entertainer. So you may as well say, well, I don't know, you know, a singer. Name a singer. This girl should be paid equal to a guy who's selling a million times more records. You can't really go that route. That if you're being paid $75,000 a year to be a professional wrestler in the WWE, and you've been there over a year, it's not a lot of money. And there are girls making less than that. So we'll see. We'll see how this affects the WWE's optics, saying they're leading the women's revolution, because you can't, in good faith, pay Ronda Rousey over $1 million and then the next person down is half that. When the next person down, to be honest with you, isn't drawing as much as some of the other people. So that's some odd news. More news is that, and we'll get to this with the U.S. Title match, so, but there may be a John Cena sighting. And the last piece of news is some happy news, and that is that apparently Heavy Machinery have actually been helping the production crews clean up, which means tearing down certain things, putting things in the truck, you know, just general cleaning up. And this is something that you learn, I think, on the indies. You know, if you're an indie wrestler, you should be helping tear down the ring or put things away or whatever you got to do to help. But people kind of lose that when they hit the big time. And to see Heavy Machinery doing that apparently has sparked some good vibes backstage about them. So if you're a Heavy Machinery fan, that's probably pretty good news. WWE is obviously takes a look at that kind of work ethic and takes it very seriously. So that's the news thus far, Mike. Alicia Fox, 1 foot out the door. The women's roster, not even close to being paid anything close to what the men are being paid. Heavy Machinery making some friends there in the production crew. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, Alicia Fox, yeah, you should treat her, you know, give her every chance to correct her problems and treat her like you've treated a lot of other of these other guys that have had that same problem. Because look, I mean, 12, 13, 14 years she's been with the company. Even before she debuted on the main roster, 2000, I believe the year is 2006 or 2007. So, is when she originally got signed. So, that's on that. But as far as women and look, it's even more lopsided when you consider that what they're paying Brock Lesnar. You know?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar reportedly $6.8 million. He's not the top guy. Cena still is. But I guess my point, Mike, is this. I'm not suggesting that you give Charlotte Flair the same amount of money you give Brock Lesnar. That's crazy. Brock Lesnar is a way bigger draw. He sells way more tickets. It's not possible to do that. What I am suggesting is that Curt Hawkins doesn't sell tickets. Okay, no one says, I'm going to wrestling, I'm going to the WWE show because I want to see Curt Hawkins. Curt Hawkins is on the card. Nobody does that. So I'm not really sure why you're making less than Curt Hawkins if you're one of the female athletes. I think what there should be maybe is a pay scale that's basically saying, look, if you're at this level, male or female, this is what you make, which is a base level. From there, it's incentive-based. If you're drawing big, then, you know, yeah, you can demand more money, but this is your base level. And that would probably alleviate some of this controversy, because when you're making less than Curt Hawkins and you're, you know, Bailey? I don't know, man. That's a little tough to justify, Mike.
Right, especially when you've got girls like Sasha and Carmella and people like that that have been your champions. Generally speaking, champions generally do get paid a little, people that have been ex-champions generally get paid more because they at least held the belt, at least been able to at some point sell tickets, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. The women aren't going to sell tickets like the men do, but they do sell tickets. I mean, people do want to see Charlotte. People do want to see Becky Lynch. And, of course, you know, if they'd handled both Bayley and Sasha right, people would want to see Bayley and Sasha, you know. And that's
I agree with that. Now, let's get one thing straight. It's 2017 numbers. So it's not 2018 number. So maybe things improved this last year, and into 2019. I don't know. What I do know is I'm looking at it, and Asuka is making approximately the same amount of money as Curt Hawkins. Asuka. That don't sound right. That does not sound right. So anyway, Todd, your thoughts on the Alicia Fox or possibly on Heavy Machinery helping to pick the joint up after the shows?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like with Heavy Machinery, that's a good thing. They're helping tearing it down, being friends with the production crew and everything. It's a good feel right there, like you said.
Definitely a positive vibe. I mean, it's not going to hurt them. I can tell you that. It's not going to hurt them to have some work ethic like that and you know, listen, there's other stories being told about people like that that have helped them in their career, one being Roman Reigns. There was a story where, I don't know if I reiterated it already on this show, but apparently a writer who was fairly new to the WWE a while back had approached Roman Reigns about his speech in the ring, what he was going to do, and Roman Reigns wanted to drop a word that would have been a little controversial. And the writer said, you know, I'm shaking in my boots because if I tell him yes and Vince gets mad, I'm fired. I'm the one. Because he's going to say, look, you were given the job to make sure what he said was whatever, and he didn't. And yet, this is Roman Reigns. At the time, your champion or whatever, the top contender, and I'm a new guy here. And I'm very nervous. And Roman says, I really want to say this, and I don't know what to do. And he said, before I said anything, Roman said, but let me go check with Vince and see if I can say this. Because if I don't, and you could get in trouble. So let me just go see. So he went and apparently talked to Vince, who said, yes, you can go ahead and say that. He went back to the writer and said, yeah, I checked with Vince. Vince says it's okay. Now, this writer says, I said to him, Well, thanks, because I didn't really want to be the one to go to him with it, because you carry a lot more weight around here. You're a lot more important than me. So Vince, you know, would listen to you a lot quicker than me. And he claims that Roman said, first off, I'm not more important than anybody. You're as important here as anybody that's getting into the ring, and we're all in this together. We don't do this all together, then we all crash together. Now, with that kind of attitude, now you understand why Roman Reigns has been on the top for so long. And if Heavy Machinery is coming through with this attitude of we're not too good to help the production crews pick up the stuff, put things in the production vans or the trucks, you may see them quickly rise in the WWE. It's such an easy thing, and so many people let it go to their heads and they don't do it, that it really shocks me. Really does. Anyway, let's get on with our SmackDown report, because this week SmackDown saw something very important happen, and that is the crowning of a brand new U.S. champion. Before we get to that, let me go straight to the opening match here. We did have Daniel Bryan, of course, in the ring first. And Daniel Bryan was doing his usual shtick, and Kevin Owens comes out, and minus the cheeseburger, I could have wrote this. This is exactly what we said Kevin Owens needs to do. Come out as the everyman. Daniel Bryan flat out said it. He flat out said, you're like every one of these people here. You'll eat whatever you want to eat, do whatever you want to do. You have no conscience about whatever. And Kevin Owens is saying, look, I think you're a little nutty. And if you think that I'm just like these people, well, if that means that we all think you're nuts, yeah, I guess I'm just like all these people. He did a really good job. Minus the hot dog or minus the cheeseburger, Mike, that's exactly what we said he needed to do.
That's exactly what he needed to do. And look, you look at him. You know, you look at him. You look at just the way he looks. And he fits with that. You know, the son of a plumber, the everyman, that, you know. I mean, that's exactly what Dusty Rhodes was. You know, this guy that wasn't in the greatest of shape, but he connected with the fans, and that's what he was. This is what Kevin Owens was. Now, granted, Kevin Owens is probably right now in better shape than Dusty Rhodes was in his prime, but
yeah,
that's
definitely.
Neither here nor there, you know. But you look at him, and you look at some of the people in the crowd, and yeah, he does look like them. He does act like them, and this is going to make him be, even though people don't want to, this is going to make Kevin Owens be cheered.
Yeah, I will caution Kevin Owens to do one thing, and that is not to be too squeaky clean. Don't go that direction, because the Kevin Owens everybody loved was that slightly sarcastic, a little bit egotistical Kevin Owens. So, yes, absolutely. Say, yeah, you know what? I guess I am more like the fans than you, because you're a lunatic. And yeah, I am going out and having a cheeseburger after this like all these fans. And you're not. You're going to eat grass, I guess, because you're a lunatic. But I don't necessarily want him to be Mr. Oh, how dare you question everybody's morals, all these fine people. Don't go too far, Kevin. Because that would be like Roddy Piper totally losing everything that was cool about Roddy Piper. Or Stone Cold Steve Austin losing all of that badassery that was important to Steve Austin. Stay with your sarcastic, glib, quick-witted self, and don't play up too much to the fans. Just let the fans play up to you. You warm up to the fans. But so far, I thought he did a really good job. He obviously, him and Eric Rowan got into a confrontation, and later on, we're going to have the Eric Rowan Kevin Owens match, but I thought it was a pretty good opening to SmackDown, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good opening. He should be not like a squeaky clean type, but It was a pretty good opening promo, confronting Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan over the title belt and everything. It was a pretty good, decent opening right there.
I think so, and I think Kevin Owens did primarily what he needed to do. Now we get The Miz against Jey Uso, with, of course, Shane and Jimmy Uso at ringside. The Usos had mouthed off a little bit about, look, this is the worst use of The Miz that there has been in years. The Miz is gold when it comes to on the microphone, selling his character, but this is a very tough call for The Miz, and it's not working all that well. It's really, I almost think it's counterproductive to the way you're using The Miz, and I hope this comes to an end on Sunday. I don't have any faith in that, but I hope it comes to an end on Sunday, because The Miz is better off being The Miz, and this is not The Miz. I don't know who this character is. It's not The Miz. And it makes me think that the Usos may have one leg out the door, considering what happened to Naomi later on as well. So we'll see. I mean, maybe that's the way the WWE wants us to feel. But I just don't like this. It feels unnatural. I'm not getting the vibe of buddies really between The Miz and Shane. I'm not even counting on if they turn on each other, it's going to be a big deal. It's just not working for me. It hasn't worked for me since the beginning, and it's not working for me now. And I hope they just put an end to this and let The Miz go back to being The Miz, Mike, because right now I think it's a very ineffectual use of his talent.
Yeah, I want him to go back to being The Miz, you know. If you want to turn him heel, do turn him face, do what you did with Roddy Piper. You know, don't take away what made The Miz The Miz. The Miz, just have him do what he does against the heels. You know, that's what Roddy Piper did. Now, one last thing about the whole squeaky clean Kevin Owens thing. We saw what being too squeaky clean did with Bob Backlund, you know.
Right.
I mean, people loathed him. It wasn't until he came back as this crazy nasty guy that he started to gain any traction, you know. So we don't want him. We don't want this the too squeaky clean. You can have him be squeaky, have Owens be squeaky clean, but not too clean.
I did notice one thing, Mike, and I'm sure you did too, because you watch as carefully as I do. You did notice that Daniel Bryan very clearly said, you don't have a friend in this entire business. And Kevin Owens said, you're right, because I ruined it all. I did have friends, and I ruined it. That means to me Sami Zayn's on his way back.
Yeah, and that means to me that, yeah, Sami Zayn's on his way back, and possibly you're going to see Sami Zayn as a face again.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking, Mike. I mean, there was no reason for that line that I could think of other than that. And I know Sami Zayn is very close to being ready to go. So I'm thinking that's where they may be heading with that. That could be very interesting. I don't want to see him in a tag team. Let's not do that. I mean, they can tag team once in a while. That's fine. I don't want to see him as a permanent tag team. Kevin Owens will be great on his own. Sami Zayn will be great on his own. You want to team him up once in a blue moon as friends, go ahead. Okay, so we get to Samoa Joe, R-Truth, Rey Mysterio, and Andrade. I just can't keep saying Andrade. It's so dumb. It should just be Almas if it's going to be anything. Andrade Cien Almas. R-Truth once again says John Cena is his hero. Now, I want you people to understand that R-Truth didn't come out there and just invent this John Cena was my hero. He's told to say that. There's a reason. Okay, and he keeps saying, John Cena's my hero growing up, which is ridiculous because he's older than John Cena. Growing up as a little kid, I'm watching John Cena, which is pretty funny. He does it so well. That character, R-Truth still has a lot to offer, not as a champion, but R-Truth still has a lot to offer the WWE. And he's a very, very charismatic character, and you got to keep him in the picture. So let's hope R-Truth doesn't fade into the sunset here. He can be a mid-carder, under-carder, whatever you want, but he still has a lot to offer as far as fan interest and entertainment value, and that's important too. But he keeps mentioning John Cena. He's doing it on purpose. And we had a pretty good match in which Samoa Joe takes advantage of basically Rey Mysterio's finisher and finishes off Almas and becomes the new U.S. champion. R-Truth not pinned, very good idea. Almas not submitted, very good idea. Samoa Joe really winning off of someone else's move, very good idea. Samoa Joe as the U.S. champion, very good idea. And now the seeds have been planted that R-Truth has been doing this whole challenge simply because he idolized John Cena's U.S. title run. And John Cena doesn't have a WrestleMania opponent. So add that all up, Mike, and I'm thinking we may have found John Cena's WrestleMania opponent.
I think so, too, and that's the deal. Now, I mean, the only thing that I have to say about this Andrade not winning is it's still I still want Andrade to win some because it does help him, but it also helps the gimmick that his business manager, she's his business manager, you know. How effective is she going to be if he doesn't win?
No, I agree with you there, and I don't want to see him lose a whole bunch of solo matches. But the way he lost this one with her actually taking R-Truth out, Zelina Vega took R-Truth out, and then Carmella took Zelina Vega out. Rey Mysterio was the one who delivered the finisher technically, and Samoa Joe capitalized on it. It looked almost like a fluke victory, one of those I was just an unlucky sort of a guy in the wrong place at the wrong time sort of thing. I don't think that hurt Andretti that much. And especially when the guy in the ring is the caliber of a Samoa Joe, who really, really needed a win as well.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, I hope that all this controversy with Carmella and whatever's happening with her and Corey Graves can be put off to the side because she deserves another push somewhere along the line, you know.
No question, and there's a little update on that, which I can't confirm, but apparently Corey Graves had said that his wife and he had been estranged for some period of time, that they weren't living in the same house. They basically had called it quits, that no, they were not legally divorced, but they were certainly not in the mindset that they were a couple before anything happened with Carmella. If that's the case, that changes things somewhat. I mean, you know, it's a tough thing, and you probably shouldn't. You probably should try very hard not to hook up with people you are working with, especially if you're currently married, regardless of whether you're estranged or you're not or whatever. Bray Wyatt did it with JoJo, and of course we know that Dean Ambrose was single and Renee Young, but we've seen this happen before. It's probably not the greatest idea in the whole world, but it does change things a little bit if your wife has moved out of the house for some period of time and you're not really on you're not really in that relationship mentally. You know, it does change things. So before everybody start jumping down Carmella's throat, including me, because I said, look, if you know this guy's married and you're making videos of saying happy birthday to his daughter because she's a big fan of yours, you probably shouldn't be banging her dad. But it does change things if that's the truth. So I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of that. Anyway, I thought this was a really good win for Samoa Joe. I think Samoa Joe needed the win badly. I loved the fact that they didn't job out R-Truth because that's the one we thought was going to happen. The way this worked, it set up Andrade Cien Almas and Rey Mysterio for the pre-show of Fastlane very nicely. It didn't make Almas, in my opinion, look weaker because he was just caught in this really bad situation where his business manager was taken out. He's a little bit distracted. Ray, who's a legend, hits him with his finisher, and then Joe takes advantage. Didn't really weaken Almas that much, and I think giving Joe the U.S. belt is probably the best thing you could do after really making him look totally ridiculous the past 2 months, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good win for him to become the new U.S. champion. He needs that title to be around his waist to get a build up right there, and it's pretty good for that.
I think they made a great move. It's the move I would have made if you could have talked me into giving it to Almas, no question. But in hindsight, if you sat me down and said which of these guys really need it the worst, I'd have said Joe, because you have totally misused Joe for too long. And if you continue to misuse him, you're never going to rehab him. So this was probably the right time. Almas has some time. He's still pretty new. He still had some good victories. He still hasn't been totally ruined. Joe was heading toward being totally ruined. Terrible Survivor Series showing. Terrible showing at the every pay-per-view. Terrible showing. Always the guy that doesn't win or first eliminated or whatever it happens to be. He really needed this. And maybe it's only going to last till WrestleMania. I don't know, but he still really needed it. Worse than any of the guys in the ring. So I'm good with that. Now we get to Aleister Black and Ricochet I get unlimited amount of matches on both Raw and SmackDown. That's the thing that gets me about this. How do they merit? I thought they're like the third company, because they're almost being used as if NXT is the biggest company there. Very simply. Do you see, I don't know, the Revival going back and forth? Yeah, you see Heavy Machinery doing it. Guess where they come from? NXT. How come the NXT guys can come back and forth? So they can technically go for two belts. You know, I'll go for the Raw belt. That didn't work. I'll go for the SmackDown belt. That didn't work. I'll go back to Raw. So they're fighting the bar after just having fought for the Revival's belt on Raw. Here they are against the bar the very next night. Now, I realize that Vince McMahon thinks the WWE Universe needs to see these guys. But you cannot have NXT be the only people who are immune to the brand split. You cannot have it. Not if you're going to make them go for titles and things. If they're just coming up to showcase what they do and go back to NXT, okay. But that's not what's happening. Aleister Black's already said goodbye to NXT. Permanent part of the WWE roster, you've got to pick a brand or totally end the brand split. Because they're not NXT guys. Why are they being treated differently? How have they earned that? Remember when John Cena was the only guy who could do it because he earned it? Well, are you putting Heavy Machinery in the same boat as John Cena? I mean, that's crazy. They got to totally stop that. So Aleister Black and Ricochet, who I guess are a permanent tag team, which is, I know NXT fans are tearing their hair out. I'm tearing my hair out over this. Against the bar, the poor bar. What are they now? They're the warm-up guys. And listen, say what you want about Aleister Black. He's a great wrestler. Say what you want about Ricochet. He's a great wrestler. This is not the spot for them. Period. End of conversation. But they go over the bar, and they're looking unbeatable, and I'm sure at some point they're going to wear gold in one of these brands. And this is exactly what you do not need. Now, there are some people saying, well, because Tommaso Ciampa got injured, and yeah, there is some bad news on Ciampa. He does need neck surgery, and you're looking at a long time out. A long time out. Maybe as much as a year. That they just gave Aleister Black and Ricochet their spot and said this is what's going to end up happening. If that's the case, then look for Aleister Black to turn on Ricochet at some point, I guess, because that's exactly what was going to happen with Gargano and Ciampa. And maybe that'll work, because at the end of the day, one of those two guys are going to have to lose, and then they're going to go on to do what? The loser's going to go on to do what? Two guys from a tag team try to achieve the tag team belts, maybe even achieve the tag team belts, turn on one another. One guy loses, you know, it's the old Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty syndrome. Then what happens to Marty? So is Alistair or Ricochet going to be Marty? I don't like that. These guys did not really belong in a tag team, Mike, from Jump Street. And you could have put any other. You bring up another tag team then from NXT. Why did you have to make Aleister Black and Ricochet into Gargano and Ciampa? It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't get it. When you've got guys like the Street Profits and guys like that are, I think the Street Profits, even though they haven't held the title yet, they're ready. They've got that gimmick down. You know what they are. You know who they are. They're ready. Now, granted, they put both Ciampa and Gargano and Ricochet and what's his name and well,
Black.
Tommy and what Black were both in the Dusty Classic, and both won, both teams won. So Ciampa is hurt. I seem to think that what was going to happen was, had Ciampa not gotten hurt, they were going to make that run through the Dusty Classic, and then win that thing and be called up or whatever. Now, is that spot going to go to Ricochet and
Black? I don't know. Maybe that both of these guys are way better off on their own. Number one, there's no, like, charisma there between the two of them. It's not like you see them as buddies. That's number one. Number two, their very nature as a solo act is, like, you know, Ricochet is that guy who has to take the high-flying chances because he's too small to win if he doesn't. And Aleister Black is more that dark kickboxing whatever that has that more focus on, you know, whatever. It just doesn't work for me that they're buddies. I'm not seeing that. I'm not feeling that any more than I am Shane and Miz. So that's not working. Whereas, like, Heavy Machinery, I can see them being buddies. The Revival, I can see them being buddies. The Beat Team, I can see them being buddies. You know what I mean? You can buy it. Even Cesaro and Sheamus, by virtue of all the work they put in to making them hate each other and then like each other, you can see them as buddies. The Usos are brothers. The New Day, you know that they're buddies. You know they're close. I don't see that with Tommaso. I mean, I don't see that with Black and Ricochet at all. Not at all. And I think it's just a waste of their talent. Speaking of wasted talent, Mandy Rose comes out, and if you blinked or you went for popcorn, you missed this match. This match was, what, a minute? Not even a minute? Mandy Rose just basically destroys Naomi. That's a former champion. And I know they're trying to build up Mandy Rose, and I get it, and I appreciate it, but wow. There are other girls on that roster that you could have thrown to the wolves. You purposely threw Naomi to the wolves, and that's what makes me think that the Usos may have one foot out the door. I've not seen Naomi take a jabron sort of a match like this, Mike, in a long time.
I haven't seen that either, and that's what said again. She's a former champion. She has a charisma about her. She may not be good on the mic, but she still has a charisma about her, and that's the thing. Or once they go, then is she next? You know, and as far as Ciampa goes, I hope that this neck injury is not the same thing like what's her name's husband has, Natty's husband, that he had to basically retire. You know?
Unfortunately, they're saying it's similar to it's not a good situation. It's not a good situation. It's a terrible shame. And we obviously, you know, you got to hope for the best, cross your fingers. Everybody reacts differently to, and, you know, just a little difference between the injury can make the difference between returning actively and not being able to return. So it's, you know, cross your fingers. Todd, as far as this Mandy Rose match was concerned, I mean, wow. It doesn't speak very well of what they have in mind for Naomi.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about the Naomi match, that match lasted like about 3 seconds.
It was ridiculous. It's a waste of time, is what it was. But anyway, then of course Asuka comes out and attacks both Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. So I guess Asuka's fine. So that's good news. We then get to Kevin Owens versus Eric Rowan. I'd like to say it was a good match, but Kevin Owens feels a little rusty still. I think Kevin Owens needs a few matches. He'll find his stride again. Eric Rowan, same way. Eric Rowan hasn't exactly been tearing the house down with doing matches, so it's two guys who probably need to find their legs a little more. Turned out to be a disqualification when Daniel Bryan gets involved, and the whole thing is an okay build-up for this week's main event, but it wasn't a great match by any stretch of the imagination. And Kofi Kingston and the New Day not being there and having that dynamic of why in the world am I not in Kevin Owens' spot really hurt, I think, this week. The fans were looking for what will Kofi and the New Day, how will they respond to this horrible news? And instead they're just being shown on tour being happy and, oh, here we are, and, you know. It's like, I wish, even in that segment, I wish Kofi had been a little down in the dumps and saying, you know, I still can't get over what happened to me. If you take that lightly, what does it mean to you? I think that was a horrible mistake. I really do. So, look, was the main event a good? No, it wasn't. But it set the table for Sunday, so I'm okay with it. And we'll get to the panel's thoughts on this match in a moment. But before we do, I do want to say that we promised we would mention that Lana has her own YouTube channel. And whether she was working or and shooting, I don't know. But she went off on Ronda Rousey like nobody I have ever heard in my lifetime. And basically said, people who bust their ass for the business get nowhere. Ronda Rousey comes in and gets everywhere. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's terrible on the mic. She doesn't respect the business. And I mean, she just literally went off, and she wasn't doing it as Lana. And she really tore a new one in a very reckless way, because I mean, the WWE can't like this. The WWE can't like that she's on YouTube basically saying, look, they just handed her the keys to the kingdom, threw everybody else to the wolves and said to hell with it, and she sucks. She can't wrestle. She can't do what we do. She's not entertaining. She has two facial expressions. I mean, she really went off. If you want to check it out, you should check it out. Just put, I forget what her channel is called, but just put Lana on Ronda Rousey and you'll find it, and it's pretty shocking. This coinciding with Rusev, who answered a fan on Twitter who had tweeted, because of course Rusev and Nakamura attack Black and Ricochet at the end of that tag team match. And a fan had tweeted that he was happy that Rusev and Nakamura had attacked Black and Ricochet because he came to see Rusev, and he was really happy that he got to see Rusev live because he wasn't sure he was going to. And Rusev responded, well, you've probably seen the last of me. Then later kind of tweeted and semi took it back and said, don't read into that, but read into it. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. But I can promise you that Rusev and Lana are not happy, because if Rusev and Lana were happy in any way, shape, or form, there is no way Lana's taking to YouTube to just bury Ronda Rousey. It's not like she thinks she's getting a match with her. You know, she knows she's not getting a match with Ronda Rousey. So why literally bury her? unless she really meant it. And why would Rusev keep poking the bear and just saying, yeah, I might leave. I'm tired of being treated this way. You might not see me anymore. They look woefully unhappy to me, Mike, and I'm not expecting they're going to be long for the WWE.
Right, and this is what we've been talking about for a while, you know. It's only going to take a couple of these guys or gals to go over to, I don't know, AEW or even Impact for things to seismically shift. Rusev would be one of those guys. If he leaves and goes to one of these other places, that's a seismic shift, you know. That's almost a 10 on the Richter scale. I mean, that's how big this would be. And look, we haven't heard of any, you know, of the WWE disciplining Lana for what she said, you know, on that YouTube channel. Now, just because we haven't heard that they've done it, don't mean that they haven't done it yet, you know. Now will they do it? Probably will do it, and that doesn't take into account what the length of their contract is, you know.
No, and I'm going to be very honest with you. While I was shocked at what she said, I don't disagree with it. I think she's actually probably hit the nail on the head to a certain extent. Did she come across sounding a little bitter? Maybe she did. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't a lot of truth in what she said. And there was actually a lot of truth in what she said. And it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of truth in what Rusev says, because you're talking about a man. Let's just throw everything out the window and power here. Rusev and Aiden English were on their way to becoming one of the most popular tag teams, or at least duos, if they're not going to be a tag team, in WWE history. They had the perfect combination of Aiden English was using his talent as a singer, and Lana was using her good mic skills and her looks, and Rusev was naturally charismatic as a face and going over well. And the WWE, in their infinite wisdom, said, let's break these guys up and we'll have a feud. Well, no, that would have been acceptable, I guess. If you say, man, it's going to be a blood feud. This is going to last the better part of the year. These guys are just going to be mortal enemies. No. It was a second match in on SmackDown, squash match, gone, goodbye, nothing. You're going to tell me that wasn't done on purpose? So you killed the Rusev Day team. Then you continued with the Rusev Day thing with just Lana and Rusev, and then flipped them too, so that would kill the Rusev Day thing completely. And again, the question is, why did you do that? What did you get out of it? A Shinsuke Nakamura feud with Rusev turns into a tag team? I mean, you have literally crapped on him. It almost feels like any time he gets over, you're like, no, that's not what we want for you. We're going to make sure you don't. This reminds me, this is the Damian Sandow syndrome of, we're going to give you crap you couldn't possibly get over. He got it over? Give him worse crap. He got that over too? Give him worse crap. Jesus, that's starting to get over? Fire him. Or make him ask for his release. Treat him so badly he has to ask for his release. And for the life of me, I don't know why. They've already let Lana and Rusev go from Total Divas, which is not a good sign. And that's what started this whole thing. Lana basically said, we're gone from Total Divas so Ronda Rousey can come in and do what? You don't know anything about a reality TV show. You don't know anything about wrestling. Oh, fine, you're a UFC fighter, so you can beat us up for real, but so what? That's not entertainment. And she's right. You were handed the keys to the kingdom based on something that means nothing. So you're a real fighter, and so what? You could really kick everybody's ass. So what? That has no bearing on the world of professional wrestling. None. Zero. Entertainment does, and you're not entertaining. So, yeah, this has looked to me very much like a crusade to kind of get Rusev to the point where he asked for his release, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. And if he goes, and you know she's going to go. And look, as much as we thought that she wasn't a good wrestler or whatever, she was at one point showing signs of improvement to the point of where I think she should have been pushed a little bit more. But again, if you're not going to do anything with her other than what you're doing with her, let her go. And if, same thing for Rusev. If you're going to Damian Sandow him, let him go.
Yeah, and you know, backstage a lot of people are saying, look, the real problem is Lana. The WWE didn't like her. She was very outspoken, especially on social media. She had a chip on her shoulder. Maybe she did. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I haven't heard her say anything that I would say, oh, well, that's just ridiculous and untrue. She said, you know, you've ruined the Rusev character. It's like you did it on purpose. That's true. She said the fans really wanted to see them all stay together as a team, and they broke that up. That's true. She said the minute they got over as faces, they had to go back to being heels, and that made no sense, and that's true. And she said, you know, the Ronda Rousey thing, we're fired from Total Divas because we were trying to be entertaining and edgy, and the crew didn't like us or whatever, and you're going to put Ronda Rousey in there with no experience and no real charisma. You've given her everything. Well, you know, you've given her the championship. You've put her over every single girl in the entire women's revolution. And now you're going to let her go over on even the reality shows. That's true. All that's true. So if she does have a vice, it's that she's not going to sit down and shut up and take it. Which I'm not sure that's a vice. I guess in the WWE, it's a vice because you're supposed to sit down, shut up and take it. But, Mike, I haven't heard her say anything that I would honestly say, well, that's not true.
Right, and that's the thing. And, yeah, you got to get – and look, again, we've talked about this, about her versus Ronda Rousey. We know how good Lana is on the mic. You know, we know how good she can be, and we know that at least she was improving in the ring to the point of she should have been pushed. Whereas you look at Ronda Rousey, like you said, the two facial expressions, plus the fact that she's not really good on the mic, plus the fact that you absolutely have to call every little detail in any match that she's in. Whereas with Lana, you probably don't. You got to call some of the match, but it's not 100% like it would be with Rousey. So obviously she's telling the truth, and obviously they don't like when people tell the truth. The WWE.
No, especially when they're very candid about it. You know, no one wants to hear in the WWE that you handed Ronda Rousey the keys to the kingdom, but they really did. They really did. And a lot of the girls know it. And they can smile and say, no, this is really good for the women's revolution because she's such a big name. And they mean that. Part of these girls are also saying, I don't know, man, we busted our ass to get here. She did absolutely fuck all in wrestling. In sports, she's done a lot. MMA and stuff, but not wrestling. Whole different world. And Lana's right when she says, you know, wrestling's about entertainment at the end of the day. If you're not entertaining, what the hell does it matter? It's a good point. Anyway, let's rate this week's SmackDown. I'll tell you, I thought the opening was good. I thought Kevin Owens was a little too nice of a guy. I wish he'd have been a little nastier, especially when Daniel Bryan started to do like the body shaming thing. I was waiting for Kevin Owens to say something like, you know, short people are usually bitter, like a bitter little troll. You know, that's the old Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has to be that way. He still has to be that sometimes nasty, cuts to the bone type guy, because then that's going to get that big reaction from the crowd. To just say, golly gee, I'm so lucky to be here and the fans are all wonderful. I don't want to see that Kevin Owens. So I'm cautioning him right now. Don't be that Kevin Owens. You'll be just as liked being a little edgy. keep the edge. But still, very good segment. Did basically what we had suggested for weeks here on this show. Not a huge fan of the way they treated Naomi. Not a huge fan of this entire Miz angle with the Usos and Shane. I did very much enjoy the U.S. Challenge, Open Challenge. I thought it was not only was it a good match, I thought they made all the right moves from Jump Street. They gave it to the right person. The right person lost. The right person didn't lose because obviously we thought it would be R-Truth to get pinned. They set up something that could potentially be R-Truth and Carmella against maybe Andretti and Zelina Vega or maybe just Carmella and Vega. A lot of things happened. There were branches on the trees in that match, so I really liked that match. So overall, and then we had the AJ Styles thing with Randy Orton, which if AJ Styles and Randy Orton, if that's AJ Styles' WrestleMania opponent, that is a huge yawn. I'm sorry, that's a huge yawn. That is a huge yawn. So I'm not really into that. But I still think this was a slightly above average show. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a C+. Mike, what do you think?
You know, if you compare it to Raw, which we shouldn't do, but if you compare it to Raw, it's an A+ show. But yeah, you're right. It's a C+ show. I don't like what they did to Lana, Naomi. You know, she's, as we've said before, she's an ex-champion. I could have done without the AJ bit, but all right. I mean, if this is the way you're going to use him, fine, because we know where his time is going to come, because he's going to be one of these guys that's coming and going with AJ Styles and all that stuff. I like that. I like how the U.S. Championship went. So C+.
Yeah, you know, it went back and forth for me between like a C+, and I almost gave it a B-, to be honest, but I just don't like Black and Ricochet as a tag team, and they're not going to make me like them. I want them solo guys, and that bothers me more than probably anything else that happened on SmackDown this week, and that bothered me on Raw, too. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you guys, a C+.
So not a bad show, really. I mean, the highlight of that show was definitely the U.S. title match. Excellent, very well-booked match. Very well-booked match. And they tried as hard as they can to get the, the Aleister Black and Ricochet situation going with Rusev and not Nakamura. But at the same time, you can't follow that storyline and then say, wait, there's a storyline over on Raw with them and Chad Gable and Rude. It's too many angles for one team. Pick a goddamn brand if that's what we're going to do. Just pick a brand. We can't follow 9 storylines, same team. So all in all, not a bad SmackDown at all.
60.
And obviously we will be back here on Sunday and give you all of our thoughts on the Fastlane pay-per-view, and maybe some things are going to be changing in between now and Sunday. We'll see. Thanks for listening. We'll be here on Sunday with our Fastlane preview.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.